Sharing, Brother Samuel. Amen and amen. Man, and praise the Lord for this Sabbath. His hand is moving and His people are blessed. His children are joyful. Well, as we know, we already prayed, and we'll close out in prayer later after we study in the book of Acts. And I want to thank everybody for keeping us in prayer, especially those of us in the Midwest from what happened last week, and we weren't able to do church because of it. But I want to praise the Lord, though, that what was it like 60 seconds before Friday night, Sabbath Eve last week. Oh, and thanks again, Brother Joe, for recording the testimony service every week like that, because I just can't do it with the back and forth and the back and forth with the, the audio. But I want to first echo Isaiah 12:4. It says, "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." And that's why we do this every single first day of the month, which was supposed to be last week. As you know, April 1st is obviously the first day of the week, of the first Sabbath of the month. But about 60 seconds after saying that we were more or less done with the study last week on Friday nights, like we do at 8 p.m. Eastern time to about 9, I think the longest I go over is like 9:15, but I rarely do that. But about 60 seconds after saying it, we lost internet because this massive storm that we knew was headed our way. I mean, the entire Midwest got hit with it, all the way from, I think Texas got a little bit of it, and some Oklahoma. But even Minnesota and, Iowa, Minnesota, I think Michigan got a lot of it. 17 tornadoes alone came into Indiana. There was a lot more. And I was watching it. My wife turned me on to this guy online that's called, it's really accurate about predicting weather. He blows the doors off of the mainstream media weather predictors. And his name is Ryan Hall. Yeah. And I think his page is on YouTube. I don't know if it's on YouTube or if it's his own website. I don't know. I think I do have him on my, I think he is YouTube. But I think it's Ryan Hall, y'all. So I guess he's from the southern portion of the country. But, we were watching him earlier in the day. And, there was this massive line of storms coming in. And at the same time was dumping snow way up in the north and northwest region, of course. But by the time it got to our area, it was – and we knew something was going to happen because it was going from cold to warm. When it goes from warm to cold, you'll get a lot of wind and you'll even get horizontal rain, but you're not going to get a tornado or anything because of the tornado feeds off the warmness, the warmth, the high pressure and the mixing of the hot and cold together. And so we knew it was going to get violent, but we didn't know it was going to get that bad. But he did, Ryan did. He knew there was going to be all sorts. I think at one time when I was watching him, there were 24 tornado warnings at one time, and most of them were in Arkansas. That's why I was so concerned for Tim, and I texted him, and he was fine. He was in a different – it's kind of hard to keep track of where everybody lives, but I'm pretty sure that he was a couple hours from it all. But, about 60 seconds after shutting down the Friday night, and then I was going to gab for a few more minutes, and then we were offline. We were just off. And not 100% off. We still had a little bit of upload. It was like dial-up for download. Like, remember the good old days, the dial-up was like, I think the slowest was, you can't count fax machines, even though that is dial-up. That was 14.4 kilobits. Whereas most people had dial-up that was 28, 36, or no, 28, 32, or 56. And in that night, we had like 20 for download. And the upload was, fluctuating between, 0.1, which is crazy slow, to like a meg. And so the website was able to stay online through all this, too. Even though I put up the red bar saying we got bad storms, the site's going to be slow at times. And it does. It just goes up and down because it was shaking the dishes and everything else that pointed the signal towards our house. But praise his name that we saw this tornado was coming right for us. And it was a good hook. And so we knew it was going to be a big one. And you get a direct hit from an F4 or 5. And F3, your house may stand, especially if it's brick like ours. But F4 or 5, now you're going to have a tile floor, even if you have tile, I don't know. But it was headed right for us, and so we prayed. And then check this out. Now, as you all know, most of you know that have been around in the Seventh-day Remnant movement for the last few decades, we used to keep track of this. We actually recorded twice on radar that when we pray, the Lord shifts the storm under us or above us. It's just, one time it was just amazing how it happened. It was coming right for us. We prayed. It shifted due north and then past our area and then dropped back down south and got on its regular path or something. I thought that was amazing when the Lord did that. And I have one of those recordings, those radar recordings on one of my old phones. But this last week on Sabbath Eve, after everything was, we were offline, and then the storm was obviously getting closer and closer and closer, and we figured, okay, that whopper's still headed in our direction, so of course we prayed. And this time I got it on film, you know, and this is why I counted this as number 52, even though about 10 years ago, back when we had the XP computers with the servers, with the chat rooms, we were counting how many times we would pray and the storms would shift their track, tornadoes. It was 51. And there's been more since then, obviously. It's been 10 years, right? But the only reason I count this one as number 52 is because this time I got it on film. And a matter of fact, I put it on my server. Now, here's the issue. I'll put the link in the room. For those of you that want to check this out, it's in there now. And for those of you on WTPR, just go to remnantofgod.org/images/tornado. That's it. And it's not going to be the server stack anymore like it was before. We got to click each one. I put a player in there where it's going to slowly scroll them by one at a time. And I got a little blurb underneath it telling you more or less what I'm saying now, but it's summarized. But the thing is it, like I said, was headed right for us. We prayed, and then it shifted its track due east. And that's when we knew, like Fran and I, we knew when it was close, really close, because of the lightning. At night, it's not easy to see a tornado at light at night unless the light of a lightning strike lights it up, and that's what you see in these pictures that are floating across the screen here. That's about 2 or 3 miles away, and the reason I say 2 or 3 is because I've been in a few tornadoes in my life, you know, and I remember the first one when I was a little kid, and that one was about, I'd say about 2.5-3 miles from us. It was an F5, and it took my fort. It took, like, I remember looking out the window, it shook a little bit and went straight up, and it took some of our shingles and, you know, bent over some trees, and it was like 2.5 miles away. And it didn't knock over any big trees. I mean, it was just little saplings and stuff were getting knocked over because it was a fairly new neighborhood. We just moved in a few years prior. And but the reason I say 2 or 3 miles is because every tornado is going to have that wind around it. That's why the rain goes in the same direction as the tornado. It's kind of weird when you look at it, like the tornado is going due east and the rain's coming out of the west, which means the rain's going east. And so it's odd because it's a giant, it's like a hurricane on land, but you only see the tornado section of it. The rest of the wind you don't see because it's just transparent wind, but it wraps around it, and it pulls things towards the tornado if you're on the back end of it, and that's what we were on. We were on the back end of it as it was passing us. But you can see it was moving at about 40 or 50 miles an hour on ground, so that was a fast movement. Like the one when I was a kid, it was I think it was like 20, 25 miles an hour on ground, and it was one of the tornadoes that were longest on the ground, recorded on ground. It was the one that hit Oklahoma in 1967 on April 21st. And yeah, April, it's always, you know, in spring. You know, the cold comes in, and the warm comes in and knocks out the cold. But praise the Lord that he protected us again, and this time we got it on film. As you can see, you can't see the other side of the tornado because it's one of those wedge tornadoes. It's kind of like a wall of tornado. It's just huge. I don't know exactly. This is the one that knocked down some of the windmills and those, you know, those 400 or 500 foot windmills. And but we got to go for a cruise and go see where they got knocked down. Obviously, one of my daughters is an EMT and she got some pictures and stuff. But the thing is, that was pretty violent. Now, if it was 5 or 10 miles away, we still would have gotten wind, but not the wind we got. We, you know, we had like 70 to maybe 80 mile an hour wind with the horizontal rain and all that. And that's why I back away in the video, because I don't want the glass coming in on me and my wife. But the thing is you couldn't really see the tornado well on the video, because I'm taking a video at night. And that stupid security light, as you can see, it lights up. That's that pole right there. For most of the video, the tornado was heading towards the security light, so you could, and it was like blocking it out. And I had to wait for lightning that was really close to the twister to light it all up. And so that's why it looks different in some of the videos. But that white stuff in one of the pics, that's the wall. And sometimes you could see it, it's dark. It depends on where the lightning's hitting it. And but yeah, you can see it. One time you see a windmill that it's coming towards, and you can see it from here. And then all of a sudden the windmill's gone, because it was the tornado went through it. And whether that was the one that got knocked over or not, I don't know. I don't think so, because that windmill was probably only a mile or two from us. And so it looked like it was engulfed by the twister, but I think it was just the rain, the debris or whatever. I don't think the tornado itself hit that particular windmill, because it's still up. It's still there. I can still see it. But, yeah, that was an exciting night. But the next day we couldn't get internet or anything like that. But we tried, as you all remember. I tried my best to, you know, shut down the email server and all the other websites like SDG Apostasy and the SDR Asia and all the other ones. Well, SDR Asia, we haven't really built anything on it yet. It's just hanging there waiting, because we just got it recently. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that, because, again, He has protected us. And the thought kept coming to mind every time. When I was young, I had a phobia. I was deathly afraid of tornadoes, because I went through it at the age of 12. And I figured that, but once I became a Christian, the thought always came to my mind instantly, like it did the other night. My Father knows where I live, and so He's going to care for me. And so, but still, I'm not going to take the Lord that I got to, put the Lord that I got to a foolish test and go out there and, start mowing the lawn when a tornado's coming or something. I'm not stupid. You don't take chances. And so, praise the Lord. And I got to say, I got to echo what the Apostle Mark said. Well, what the apostles said in the boat that night in Mark chapter 4, verse 41. They said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Because that night, the wind was definitely obeying our Lord, our Savior, our King. When we asked him to, there was a good pick right there. You could see the tornado coming up to my light post. And then the next pick, it's past it. So it was moving at a good clip, not counting the spinning part of it, Because I'm looking at the things. It's there, the videos or the pictures are swinging by. And that's why I took pictures instead of putting a video up, because the video, it's hard to, you'll catch it every now and then. You'll see the tornado. But in the back of your mind, you think, did I just see what I think I saw, So I took the video off my cell phone, put it on my computer, with a USB cord, and then put it in my video editing software and stopped. No, actually, I just used the regular Windows where it shows you the video, and I would pause it every now and then. I would use Snagit. Snagit allows you to pick, whatever's on your screen. And so I just went frame by frame by frame until I got good picks, because the rest, it's night. You're not going to see much until everything gets lit up by lightning. And there's a lot of lightning. That's what I said. If you're worried that a tornado is coming close to you at night and you can't see it, just wait for the lightning, because that spinning vortex, which usually does not touch the ground unless there's a hill, it's about 3 to 4 feet off the ground at all times. That thing generates a lot of static electricity, and so you're going to get, because what was it? I think it's 50% of lightning comes from the ground. The other 50% comes from the air, but it happens so fast it's hard to figure unless you have a slow-motion camera. Maybe it's less. I think it's more comes from the sky. But yeah, it's you'll see them wrapped in lightning. And it's not the first time I've seen that. I remember when we were living in what the kids call the ghost house. They call it the ghost house because of what happened before I was a Christian. We had a lot of manifestations there and, scared some of the people in the neighborhood. But the thing is, the teenagers anyway. The thing is that we had a tornado then too, and it was coming right towards us. And I was already a Christian at this time, I believe. And I was praying. And, yeah. But that one was more intense. That one was like an F2 or 3. You could see the cone. You could see it all. And every time the lightning lit up, it was black, But this one here looks like it's mostly white as it's getting hit with the lightning. With the light from the lightning, it looks mostly white in some of the pics. So praise his name. Our God is an awesome God. And I got another praise here before I start reading the ones I got in the emails. And please send your praises and testimonies in email if you can, because put them in the room, Sister Minnie, or PM Sister Mindy. She likes to read them for everybody. I got one more here that a few days before all this happened on Monday, you know, because Friday, Sabbath Eve, is when the tornado came. So Monday of that week, the previous Monday, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses were on my, came up to my drive, you know, and up to my door. And you could tell they're from the area because they went to the back door. That's usually how it is when you're out in the boonies. People don't usually go to the front door. And so, and you could tell when somebody like UPS or somebody, or FedEx, it's usually UPS, FedEx usually doesn't do it. Because the FedEx guys, I think they're from the area, but the UPS guys are, some of them are city areas or something. I don't know. They always put stuff on the front door, and which is odd because we don't use that door. Nobody out here uses front doors, it seems. Nobody. They always go back door. And so they came up on the porch, and I want to just praise the Lord on how the Holy Spirit was moving. I mean, I started the conversation in a way I did not expect. I already had thoughts in my mind what I was going to say because I knew what was going on. It was a young couple, a young married couple. And for some reason, the Lord had me start off by saying, hey, did you know that your church family split off from the Seventh-day Adventist church many decades ago? Your forefathers were Sabbath keepers. Did you know that? And they didn't know that. And I says, oh, you know, and then went on to tell them why it is important now that the Seventh-day Adventist church fell into bold apostasy. And that could have been why the JWs, as people call them, left at that time because of the apostasy that they saw. But then Satan, of course, infiltrated them as well and turned them way off with a bunch of false prophecies that they had. I think they predicted the end of the world 20 times, their so-called prophet 20 times, and of course it never happened. And then I told them to watch for climate change laws and how they are going to demand everybody keep Sunday holy to keep, you know, to stop the calamities, because I had to bring in the fact about the Sabbath. And, of course, I gave them the Mark of the Beast card and told them why the mark is a religious law by letting them, you know, telling them every time the mark is mentioned, Revelation, you know, the word worship is going to be right there with it. And so, because Satan wants to be worshipped as a god, and I think the nice thing about that is the whole time the young man was locked onto my eyes and I was locked onto his. And but his wife was nodding her head up and down, up and down, up and down repeatedly. And so I shook their hands and said goodbye, and I'm hoping and I'm praying. Never got their names. I mean, they told me their names, but I'm lousy with names. I always forget names. I don't forget faces, but names. You know. Anyway, they went on their way. I've been praying for them ever since. Every time I give somebody a track, I always pray for them afterwards and hope that the Lord moves them. But they're probably from the local JW church that's in Fowler, which is, I don't know, like 20 or so minutes from here. And so, because it's a kingdom hall, they call it, you know, where it's got no windows, it's all brick, 3-inch thick, you know, oak doors. And the reason they do that is because they believe that they're going to bury all the bodies after the Lord returns. And I even asked them one time, I said, don't you realize that Jesus is coming? And why would, I can't remember what the conversation was now that I think about it, but something to the effect that, I says, can't you wait to get off this planet? It's just, no, we love the world, they said. Literally, they said they love the world. They love it with a passion to the point they're going to lock themselves in their church at the second coming. Get this. And no one can come in because, you know, the people are going to be banging on the doors like they did on Noah's Ark and stuff like that. No one's going to be able to come in because we got a solid brick walls, we got 3-inch doors, no windows. They forget that the fact that the wood is, the roof's made out of wood, but still. They think that they're going to be safe inside there. And then after everybody's dead, they're going to go out and clean up all the bodies. And that's what it was. I says, you know, haven't you ever read in Jeremiah or even in Ezekiel in regards to what all these dead bodies are going to lay on the ground and rot? They're going to be a feast day for the birds in Revelation. And they just don't get it. But I didn't bring any of that up with these young ones. They were actually handing out, invitations to their church because of Yolster, you know, like most people call it Easter, but it's the goddess Yolster, or Astarte, however, you know, there's different names for the same demon. But I guess that's tomorrow, right? Is tomorrow Easter from when I, boy, I praise God, I don't even know. Because, you know, and that's another thing, too. If I'd have known it was about Easter, I would have been telling them, says, you know why the date of Easter changes every single year? Because most Christians don't know that. They always figure, oh, yeah, it's not like Christmas where it's based on the annual calendar because they worship the sun. And so the annual calendar is always going to fall in that regards, you know, December 23rd to the 25th. But Easter is, and Easter is a pagan thing. That's why it's in the book of Acts, where Paul goes to, you know, during this, because it's a dated thing because all the pagans at that time celebrated Easter. None of the Christians did because Easter was, I mean, look at Jeremiah 7:18 in regards to the Queen of Heaven and all that stuff. You know, the so-called Queen of Heaven, it's all paganism. But, yeah, I would have been able to share with them why every time Easter comes every year, the date is different because it has nothing to do with the death or resurrection of Christ. But ask a Catholic priest or a pagan priest, and they'll tell you the same thing. When you ask them, why does the date change every year? And they say, well, because the first full moon of spring, the following Sunday is Easter. That's the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's all it is. And the fact that the Vatican changed, you know, like the prophet Daniel predicted, they changed the times and laws. And so if they would have left the calendar alone, where it was 30 days each for each month, there would be a lot less issue with them having with their so-called Easter celebrations. But yeah, they just, because some months have 30 days, some have 31, some have like February has 28, unless it's a leap year and all that. Falderall. So, but that was just to try to hide all the prophetic facts regarding the Antichrist and the dated prophecies of the prophet Daniel, because he does share a lot of dated prophecies in there. So, let me see. This is, this is Brother Tim. He just he just sent a text, a praise. So he says, I would love to praise God for protection of my son and his mom. A twister was a quarter mile from them, and I want to praise the Lord for protection of myself and friends in Indiana. God is good always. Amen, brother. Amen, my brother. So, yeah. But, wow, quarter mile. Hopefully it was a small tornado, because if it wasn't, if a tornado was a quarter mile away, you might lose some trees still. Well, if it's an F3 or up, you know, because, like I said, it's got that wind that just grabs around it. That's how those tornadoes keep growing and they get bigger, because when it starts picking up the debris, it just makes the tornado look bigger. But it's not that it looks bigger, it's that the wind column or whatever. And a lot of people don't realize this too. Why is there always hail usually with tornadoes? Because there's a tornado in every thunderstorm. Every thunderstorm has a tornado. That's where the wind comes from. But it isn't until the tornado tips and starts heading to the ground. It's a horizontal column of wind inside the thunderhead, like an anvil cloud. But when it tips, all that hail that was held up by that column, it starts to slide out. It's usually on the back end for some reason. And sometimes it comes on the front end. It's just weird, whatever direction you are when it comes to the twister. All right, I got a praise here from, I just noticed Sister Mindy's got her hand up, so I'm going to go check my emails, and so I'm going to drop the mic.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. Can everybody hear me okay? Praise the Lord. What an awesome, beautiful Sabbath. I've got some praises to share, and I've got a few from the children's study hour that I'm going to share, and then some others as well. Sister Denise says, I praise and thank the Lord for his mercy, goodness, salvation, forgiveness, patience, love, protection, and for his words and truth. Also, I thank the Lord for his beloved church family and for indwelling and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, sister. I echo that same praise. Sister Pam says, praise the Lord for another wonderful Sabbath with my church family. Amen. Sister Ida says, I thank God for this church family and that summer is coming soon. Yes, praise the Lord. I just love spring. Little Brother Damien says, praise the Lord for his love and joy and helpfulness towards us in all his trials to help us on our walk. Amen. And then Brother Eli has, praise the Lord for the travel mercies and protecting his people from other things. And Sister Mary says, praise the Lord for my salvation and the joy it brings for the witnessing opportunities. Praise the Lord, Sister. And Sister Deb says, every time I have been in a natural disaster, I always thank God for showing me how large he is. And yet all the disasters may seem big to us, yet they are so small to him. Just a reminder. Praise the Lord, she says. Amen, Sister. And then Brother Gilbert says, I praise the Lord for his many, many mercies, his graces, his love, his salvation, and too many other blessings. The Lord is very good. Amen, amen, and amen. And he has all that in capital letters. Amen, Brother Gilbert. Praise the Lord. And then I'll drop the mic, and I have some praises to share from Sister Janiza and Brother Alvin.
Oh, I thought we were going to share from Sister Janiza, but that's okay. I guess she'll do it next. Yeah, I got a couple. Let me just see. I think I got just the one in the email here from Sister Marie. Oh, I got one from Brother Arthur, too. And Sister Mandy. So all right, let me just start off with Sister Marie. She says, happy Sabbath, Brother Nick. This is my praise and testimony. Just so you know, I always pray for you and your wife and the brothers out in Indiana when storms creep up on us. I tried to text you in a prayer, but the message didn't go through. I've been having trouble with Boost for over a month. I guess that's her phone service or something. Maybe, I don't know. It's probably her internet. She says they switched network and had many problems, and they had a cyber attack and knocked the whole network out in my family. After so many tries, they sent me the wrong SIM card for free. But yesterday, I finally received the new SIM card. I'll give them a call again and can help to get it connected. But she says, I can't get on your site with my cell phone because the message tells me that the site I'm looking for is not safe. Well, if you click on the URL in the cell phone, if it shows an S, like HTTPS, and then the colon, /, Remnant of God, and if it still says it's not safe, that means either your router or your phone company is blocking remnantofgod.org. I know they shadow ban me in other countries and stuff, and outright ban me in countries like China. So looks like they're trying to make it difficult for us on just regular websites, too, if the S is still there. If the S is missing in the HTTP, which it shouldn't be, put it in. Just go to the URL and scroll over and get over to the end of the letter P and put a letter S, a little S, and then enter. It should let you in because that S stands for the security, because my site will do HTTP or TTP or TTPS. But most browsers won't allow HTTP. And they'll say, get out of here. And then you go to the advanced thing and says, go and assume the risk anyway, because I don't sell anything on the website. And the only time that you would be having an issue with a warning like that, like if you go to WTPR, it won't allow security with a straight portal. So I have to go HTTP. And a lot of people, when they click that, unless they're in the chat room here using WaterFox and click the player on the bottom of the chat room, then it works fine. But if you go straight to the portal, it'll say warning, and all this other stuff. But I don't sell anything. The only time you need the security is if you're going to use a credit card on my website or something to buy an umbrella or something, then you need to have security on that website otherwise, because, in other words, the site's got to be encrypted, and mine is. And so everything should be fine. It could also be your browser. It's probably your browser. The attachment, let me just see. Hold on a second here. Oh, okay, I just saw it. As long as it's not too long. Okay, is this a girl's April testimony? Okay, so I just read the other thing. Okay, all right, then I'll just read this one. This is the original praise, I guess, right, Sister Marie, the attachment? So I'll just go with that way. Okay, Boost is a phone service, all right. Okay, this is what Sister Marie said. She says, Sabbath blessings to all my brothers and sisters. And, oh, the screen's not showing. I'm sorry. Why did it go there? Okay, there you go. Twitch, you're okay now. Sorry about that, everybody. I must have hit a button or something like that. Well, I obviously hit the button. So Marie says, Sabbath blessings to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray y'all are doing well on this beautiful day. I love Sabbath day. The joy I feel in my heart when this day finally arrives is amazing. I would first like to thank Jesus for my salvation and all the answered prayers. I thank God for the church family. Even though I don't know you personally and you don't know me, God has sent people to remind me or explain things to me that I either forget or didn't know. And then she says, a couple of weeks ago I had a bad dream. I woke up crying. I had a few dreams that had come through my lifetime. This dream bothered me so much that I asked for prayer. A sister in the church assured me that the dream couldn't be of God. She shared with me that God gives dreams that have symbols that can be found in the Bible to be interpreted. My son Robert told me something similar. This sister reminded me that Satan has been studying humans for many years, 6,000 in fact, and he is very clever. He wants me to be sad. I give thanks to God for this sister for reminding me how tricky the enemy can be. As I do my best to walk with God, I do not walk nor talk with Satan or his friends, and I have never nor ever will for as long as I live. I rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, who is my Lord, Savior, and King. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for your reassurance and guide in my walk with you. And thank you for my sisters in Christ. All right. Then this one says here, I also thank God for answered prayers for a trip. My daughter and I feel we need a vacation and ask God to help us get out of here because, you know, since the COVID thing, we felt trapped. The enemy tries to knock us down, but we are strong in the Lord, and he is our strength and keeps us standing. God is amazing, an amazing Father. I believe something that we're planning as a church family is answered to her prayers, what she is about to say. And so I'm a firm believer that we should not plan ahead of time because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. God tells us in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, but God is with us. God bless you all, now and forever. Sister Marie. So amen and amen. Okay. Hold on a little. Let me get right back over here where I was. All right. And then this next praise. Oh, wait, that's the deleted area, I'm sorry, is from sister-daughter Mandy. And she says, I want to praise the Lord for another blessed Sabbath with my husband and for all the blessings he has blessed us with lately. A couple of Sabbaths ago, my husband started listening to church with me, so I want to thank God for that and for healing my cat and for keeping my cat calm while I give him medicine. And then this is Bartosz, her husband. This is his praise. He goes, and my husband, Bartosz, wants to praise the Lord for healing our dog Max's leg. He's been praying a lot for healing Max because he has been limping and has been depressed because of the pain he's been in. He noticed he started to get better a couple of Sabbaths ago when the Sabbath started. And on the same day when Sabbath ended, he noticed him putting more pressure on his paw. Also, a couple of days ago, we laid hands on Max, and the next morning he was walking normally and was very happy and a ton of energy, so we want to praise the Lord for that too. Amen. Praise God. And yes, the Lord does heal animals. You know, we have pets, and he knows we love them, and he loves them too. And so what's this? Okay, what's this? Okay, I see Sister Mindy's got her hand up, and so I am going to drop the mic before I read Brother Arthur's praise. It's kind of lengthy, so I'm going to take a break. So I'll be right back. Next voice you shall hear will be Sister Mindy.
All right. I'm going to share Sister Geneva and Brother Alvin's praise that they sent me. Okay. First is Sister Geneva. She said, "My heart is overjoyed. I can't stop praising his holy name. So here are my praises. 2 days before our flight to the Philippines, I got strep throat and my ear was sore. So I asked prayers from the brethren because I need to take the COVID PCR test before entering Philippines, and it has to be a negative result. But I believed in my heart these are all Satan's work to annoy and discourage us. I started natural medication like garlic, honey, cayenne, gargle salt, and warm water, and a lot of prayers. The day before we left Indiana, we had our morning devotion. God gave us his promised blessing from Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Our faith was strengthened. What a wonderful encouragement from Emmanuel. I went to CVS with Bro Alvin and took the COVID test. After an hour, Alvin got his negative result. I checked my email, but no result. I checked my email, but no result yet. I waited every hour until evening, but still no result. That night we knelt in prayer, trusting entirely in his promise, and went to sleep, for we have an early flight the next day. While I was sleeping, I had a dream. In my dream, Alvin was telling me to check my email. Upon checking, it was a negative result. Then I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and slept again. Same dream came to me. And that early morning, real thing happened like in my dream. Alvin woke me up telling me to check my email. Oh, yes, yes, indeed, it was a negative result. All of a sudden, my throat was clear and no more soreness of my ear. Praise his holy name. We immediately knelt, prayed, giving thanks to the Lord for healing me and the assurance of his blessing. Thank you, Lord. Also, I want to praise the Lord for travel mercies and for all your prayers. We had 24 hours flight, and everything went smoothly. The kids never complained. We arrived safely from USA to Philippines. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then lastly, the Lord gave us his grace to endure the warm weather, humidity, and the time difference. Our body clock has slowly adjusted. Praise the Lord. And the bonus that we are able to be with our family. I thank God for my parents, my siblings, who are very supportive to the work. Please keep the work here in your prayers. We have a schedule of activities. The brethren are so excited to hear the good news. We are so humbled because of what he has done for us, and we praise the Godhead for everything. We love you, Lord, and love you all, my church family, your sister in Christ, Sister Geneva. And then Brother Alvin says, Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. This is the continuation of Sister Geneva's praises. Me and my family are humbled, and we praise the Lord for allowing us to visit our loved ones and also work for the Lord in the Philippines. Truly, the Lord already prepared the work for us. On our first week, we visited one of our elderly sisters. We call her Mommy Elsa. She's 86 years old. Though suffering from some ailments and using a walker, this doesn't stop her from sharing her faith. Whenever she walks to the marketplace, she has her purse full of tracts and would pass them out to whomsoever she met along the way. Praise the Lord. Another one is Sis Benny, who is so active. She would go up inside the bus and jeepney, a kind of public transport, to pass out tracts to all passengers. Please include her in your prayers because she has some health issues, but she is now careful with her diet and praising the Lord for helping her back to original diet. Praise the Lord for the testimonies of these sisters. We had church effort tracts distribution. We took advantage of the long holiday because it's Holy Week. Most Filipinos from Manila would usually go out to provinces and spend the holidays to their hometown to visit their families and spend the holiday. So the bus terminals are the best place to pass out tracts where a lot of people can be found. Praise the Lord, we distributed more than 3,000 tracts in bus terminals. We even felt bad because we didn't bring enough. Oh, praise the Lord. We had a chance to meet and talk with people. One is named Randy, who received the tracts, but afterwards, attempting to return them to us, according to him, there are now only two commandments that nobody can follow, the Ten Commandments. From there, God gave us the wisdom on how to answer and explain to him that the Ten Commandments are actually divided and summarized into two commandments. Also, while sharing the prophecies, he became interested to the climate change agenda, who is the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. At the end of the conversation, we were able to get his phone number for follow-up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We did the part two of Massive Tracts distribution in another bus terminal. Praise the Lord, we distributed a lot again, and another soul was led to us by God. Her name was Lenny. God gave us the right words to say in sharing our faith. At the end of the conversation, she invited us to come to their house to do Bible study. Praise the Lord for the openings. This Sabbath day, we have fellowship and communion service together with the Manila brethren and some virtually from other places. It's been a while that we never had this kind of gathering. To God be the glory for the privilege to meet them again face to face. We have two upcoming schedules of visitation to northern and southern part of the Philippines. Please keep the Philippine brethren and the work here in your prayers. We miss you and love you all. May God bless you all. Your brother in Christ, Brother Alvin. Praise the Lord. I have some more praises I'll share after a while, after Pastor Nick.
Okay, amen. All right, I got a few more in the email. I'll read these short ones first. Sister Daniela says, Sabbath blessings, church family. I would like to praise the Lord for a blessing that he bestowed upon my family. They were in a small financial crisis. They just accepted their lot, and they believe that God will provide for their needs. My dad volunteers at a care home. The director offered him some unclaimed possessions of various items, including books, because my dad sells them at a local flea market. He was planning on selling this box of goods, but then he heard God's voice telling him, don't sell them just yet. Later on, when going through the box, he was setting aside the books to be discarded, only to find a sum of money tucked in a book. Praise the Lord. And then she quotes Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And something how he does that with books. I remember the same thing happened to me and Fran many, many years ago when we were in a 1,011-day house. So, yeah, praise his name. Brother Arnold sent this a few weeks ago. Some of these are from a couple of weeks ago, obviously, because we couldn't do testimony last week. But you all know we all been praying for Brother Arnold in and out of the hospital because they messed up something with his some surgery that he had previous. I don't want to get into too much detail, but he says, hi, Nick. I would like to give you an update on my health. My operation was a success, praise the Lord. I just got back from the doctors. They have tested me, and I have certain chronic issues, and I will most likely be on medication for the rest of my life. And I'm hoping to stay alive until Jesus returns. But if I go to sleep, I go to sleep. Thank you for all your prayers. Amen, brother. That's a perfect mindset. Amen. Me too. Like if we take a nap, we take a nap, which is actually the easiest way out, if you think about it, because of what's coming, you know, it's going to be intense. It's already starting to be intense. A lot of the Christians are already they've been getting persecuted for years, ever since the Twin Towers, especially when Rome started using the Muslims to kill Christians. And now they're still doing it, obviously, but now it's more or less hidden. But Sister Marie, you're stuck in PM. you're sending amens and praise the Lords to me. Yeah, you probably mean to put him in the text chat. So, yeah, it keeps on hitting me with a PM. So, but, yeah, just hit the little X on the top where it says my name up there, and that'll knock you out of the private message area. So there you go. So, okay, this next one's from Brother Eli. He says, praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord for helping me and Brother Sean when we distributed some tracts to people. Some were very thankful to receive the tracts, but only one refused to get or accept it. People are starting to see what's really going on, and the Lord's work will help them to get their eyes open. The enemy is now spreading some false revivals or maybe a fake latter rain counterattack to counterattack the Lord's work. And amen. That's why we made that new website, by the way, called hewon'tgetus.org. because what I do is I expose all these things, you know, the Jesus Revolution, the He Gets Us campaign, the Chosen, all this stuff. I mean, the Jesus Revolution is actually based on a guy by the name of Lonnie Frisbee and the Jesus movement in the 1960s, where all the hippies started, you know, acting like they were Christians, right? The flower power stuff and all that, too, was at about the same time. And they weren't Christian in the least. I mean, especially their leader, Lonnie Frisbee, would party hardy to the point of passing out on Saturday nights to get up in the next day with a hangover and preach, right? And he was very promiscuous to the point he ended up dying of AIDS because he was also homosexual. And this is why they're pushing the Jesus Revolution, because the woke movement, telling everybody to accept LGBTQ stuff, which is just demon possession of, you know, of all these people. And they don't care because Satan is their dying god, and so they're going to do that. And so, yeah, they got to push out this so-called Jesus Revolution with that Frasier guy. I can't remember the guy's name. He played Frasier years ago in a sitcom. But he's acting like he's the pastor of the whole thing. But, yeah, it was all demon-inspired. It was, none of it was Christianity. And they were he was also, the Lonnie Frisbee guy, he was also addicted to drugs, and he liked to do LSD, where it's just hallucinogenic. And so Satan had a lot of control over him and used him in a major way, so that now they can use that same movement to make it look like it's perfectly acceptable, because now people don't care. You know, you're homosexual. Oh, you're still, I mean, there's homosexual women standing as pastors in churches now. That's how bad it's gotten. So, yeah, Kelsey Grammer, that's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy. So, and the guy that plays Jesus in The Chosen is Lonnie Frisbee in the Jesus Revolution film. And that guy is not only Roman Catholic, he and the director of The Chosen met with the Pope on camera, bowing to him and everything, because, you know, the Jesus guy is a Catholic, but the director is a he's a Mormon. And there's a lot of Mormon Bible verses, well, if you want to call them Bible verses, from the Book of Mormon. There's verses from the Book of Mormon in that Chosen movie. And there's a lot of areas in that movie where it's just based on fiction. It's just all made up. It's things that Jesus never said or did. And they're making it look like he did, because the guy plays, and Jesus didn't look anything like that, too. We all know that the Jesus of today, you know, the pictures, is the illegitimate son of a pope who was very promiscuous as well. Okay, now I got this next one here from Brother Daniel. And he says, this is for Testimony Sabbath. He says, Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. God is so merciful. As I read the word and listened to Pastor Nick, Sean, and others, I am slowly being held accountable to not only God's word, but to fellow believers in Christ as well. March 4th after sermon warning for these last days hit home like a ton of bricks. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to get outside of our comfort zone and warn others. Wow, it's just like what I was going to be sharing earlier in regards to what the Lord was sharing with, what was it? I think it was last night. Oh, yeah. They are right now declaring in the U.S. government, well, actually from the United Nations, there's a couple of videos out there in the not mainstream area, like the alternative news networks and stuff like that. I did put it on the blog this week, so it's in there, where they're planning another pandemic for 2025. Now, if it's not in the Father's timing, the Father will cause them to push it back a year or two. Who knows? Because of what they were already planning in 2027 with the enforcing the mark using climate change. Well, the Lord forced them to make them realize, look, I know the day and the hour, you don't. And so they realize they can't, there's no way they can get it done by 2027. And so they pushed it back to 2028, you know, to enforce climate change with the mark, even though they're not going to say it that way, we know. But the thing is they're planning a pandemic in 2025. And why? Could it be, is that the latter rain, you know, or before the latter rain, to try to shut us up so they can have everything, all their ducks in a row for the, you know, the climate change lie of the mark? And now, who knows? Who cares? We're going to go and do what the Lord would have us do. There's no reason to us to even consider the dates that they set, because they can't set dates. You know, even with their 2030 thing, where they say they want the one world government in 2030, and we all know about the comet that's supposed to hit the planet in 2030. Yeah, if that is actually true of NASA, whoever, well, there's a lot of people that aren't professionals that have already filmed the comet that's headed towards us. And it looks like 2030. But if that's the case, if that's true, could that be Plague 7? Because that's hail. So we don't know. We're not setting dates, but they are. They're out there putting all these dates all over the place. And so we just got to ignore all the dates and live our lives as if, you know, the Lord's going to have the latter rain upon us any moment. We're going to go forth and glorify him so that by the time all these things do happen, everybody's going to be ready that's supposed to be ready. So, amen. So I agree with Brother Daniel here. We got to get out of our comfort zone and warn others, because if the Lord is showing us now, because I was out in the midday prayer and says, Father God, is this you letting us know we only have a little bit of time left to really get ready and start really pushing it out there because of what they're planning to do in 25 with locking everybody down again, doing that lockdown thing and forcing vaccines? They can't force them. We know that, but they can kind of force people to make a private decision to do it for them. It's kind of like, but like with the mark, they can't force you to get the mark. They could force you to decide to get it. You know, they can't grab you and, you know, and demand you believe Sunday is the Sabbath. You can't do it. Just like they can't grab you. Well, they did in some third world countries, force people to get the shot, you know, the vaccine and all that. But even there, you know, it's not going to work for Satan because he wants the people to make a decision on their own. And he'll use force to get you to decide that way. And that's what's going on. So anyway, he goes on to say here, Brother Daniel, he says, Brian and I used to go backpacking with our daughters when they were young. We backpacked in the high Sierras for 12 years in a row until the girls had life get in the way, you know, like college, sports, jobs, etc., he says. I also considered Brian a great friend and one to talk politics and life in general to, even though we disagreed most of the time. Yeah, I had a buddy like that too. And then he says, that all changed with COVID-19. As he worked in the medical field, he would have nothing to do with my take on what was happening. Well, that's odd because I know people in the medical field, and I actually have a daughter that's an EMT. And, yeah, don't want anything to do with it. They know it's all lies. But anyway, it depends. It could be big city stuff too because we're not in big cities here. So anyway, so as he worked in the medical field, he would have nothing to do with my take on what was happening. This was even the case when I presented original source documentation concerning facts related to what was going on. I was regulated to a conspiracy or relegated to a conspiracy theorist who was no longer worthy to even listen to, let alone be a friend. Long story short, I was banned from his Facebook account and blocked on email. And that, brother, is a precursor or a harbinger, if you want to look at that, is how some of our people in our own households will be our enemies, like Jesus said. Look at the kids in Hitler's day turning in their own parents to be slaughtered by Hitler. And so, yeah, this is the mindset. The mindset is being cultivated. But praise the Lord, you were able to plant seeds in that man's mind, in Brian's mind. And so who knows? Maybe one day he'll get it, hopefully. So anyway, he goes on. He says, imagine my surprise when I received an email from him yesterday. I was just one sentence It was just one sentence long with an article from the Internet included. The basic premise of the article was the science on global warming was settled with over 80,000 peer-reviewed studies supporting man-caused global warming, even though we got 44,000. Yeah, they did that because we have that evidence of over 44,000 scientists that prove global warming is a lie. Yeah, they fabricated this, obviously. It's just like with some insurance salesmen. They'll put the names they found on gravestones, and they actually have people voting from their graves in some elections in the U.S. And so, yeah. We don't believe it because we know what we're looking at. It has nothing to do with climate change. It has everything to do with the return of Christ. So, but anyway, Brother Daniel says, what perfect timing. I now have the opportunity to share with him biblical prophecy regarding what will happen in our lifetime from over 2,000 years ago. But would I make the effort to respond? Knowing that his belief in God is marginal at best? Or would I pass by the opportunity that God sent my way? Amen. Good question. So praise God, he says. I got out of my comfort zone and emailed him. This is the first time that I purposely planted a seed. Well, that you think, brother. You could be offering a smile when he's expecting a frown. So, yeah, you plant a lot more seeds than you may realize. So anyway, he says, this is the first time I purposely planted the seed, knowing full well that my email would probably fall on deaf ears. But as has been said, as has been said many times before, he cannot unhear the truth that I shared. Perhaps others will come to water the seed that has been planted. Amen. I truly care about him and his eternal destiny. As I have been writing this, I just received an email from him saying, my computer was corrupted. I didn't send this. Wow. I just really wanted to praise God that he sent him to me, and I was faithful to respond. I have been so hesitant in the past to share my faith for fear of being rejected. But I am now reminded that it is my praise, that it is what my praise. God, what? Might be a word missing. Oh, it is my duty. Okay. I have lost nothing by emailing him, and he may gain because of it. Amen. And he says, praise God, Brother Dan. So amen, my brother. Okay, I'm going to go check my emails. My next praise, of course, is going to be from Brother Arthur. And but like I said, I'm going to go check my emails because we got some hands up. Brother Samuel and Sister Mindy got their hands up in turbo, so I'm going to drop the mic.
Okay, seven blessings again. Praise the Lord for all the praises so far. So I have a few praises to give here. First of all, I want to thank the Lord, praise the Lord for my salvation and the joy that comes with my salvation and for the sacrifice that was made for me and for all of us, for the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. First praise would be this. It was actually this week, but this happened, the past 2 weeks, I should say, that some of you may know I work in a preschool. So I work in a nursery with three, four-year-olds, and I was preaching the Bible to them, Bible truths to them. And some months ago, I got basically banned from preaching the Bible because parents, some parents were complaining. But as I said before, the children, they love the Bible stories, and I praise God for the seeds that have been planted. But knowing the fact that this week was, you know, in the world they celebrate Easter, so of course we don't obviously celebrate Easter. It's a pagan festival that they Christianized, the Catholic Church Christianized. But I thought it's a good opportunity to share the story of Christ's death and resurrection and the events leading up to his death. So there were these two books that I had. One was called Jesus in Danger, and the other is called The Easter Story. But I didn't tell the children that it's the Easter story because it's not, right? But I thought to myself, well, they all claim to celebrate Easter, and the world thinks that Easter is about Jesus' death and resurrection, so how could they say anything if I teach this to the children the past 2 weeks? Because if they try and say anything, I could just say, well, hold on a second, isn't this the Easter story? Aren't you guys celebrating Easter? So I praise God that that actually gave me an opportunity then to preach the precious gospel to the little children. And yeah, so many of them were, they love the story of Christ. It goes from the story, it goes from when Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem all the way up to his ascension back into heaven with illustrations. And the illustrations are really good as well. And the children, they love the stories. And so I praise God for the seeds planted. And I hope and pray that those precious children will make it into the kingdom of heaven. Those seeds will be given an increase. Because for a lot of those children, it's the first time that they ever have heard of Christ. They've heard of the gospel because some of them, they grow up in atheist households. I said, I think I said this before, England is a very secular country. It's not as religious as it is over in America. So a lot of those children have no clue when it comes to the things of the Lord. So this is the first time they're hearing it. And I praise God that the first time they're hearing it is in a positive light. It's being presented to them as the truth, in which, of course, it should be, because it is the truth. So I praise God for that. Now, my next praise is for something that happened a few weeks ago on a Sunday. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I went for a walk at a park near where I live. Now, some of you may remember on the last testimony service or so, I gave that praise of where the Lord saved me from the Rottweiler that was attacking me. You know, there was the woman who was hitting me with the lead, and then she got her dog on me, which was this Rottweiler, was chasing me, and then I just turned to the Rottweiler and said, no biting, stop, and then it listened to me, and it obeyed my voice, and you know, that was by the grace of God, I believe, and so I gave praise to God that I didn't get badly hurt by the Rottweiler, and the Rottweiler stopped biting me when I told it to stop. Anyhow, I went back to that same park on a Sunday afternoon when loads of families are out, right? So you're thinking nothing bad, I'm thinking nothing bad's going to potentially happen. Anyway, I'm going for the walk, and the Lord puts it upon my heart to do a Facebook Live video, because I have Facebook and I have literally hundreds and hundreds of people on my Facebook. And that's another praise as well. In February, there was one day in February, it was a couple of days, it was over a couple of days, I made this post on Facebook, and it must have got shared by quite a lot of people, because in the space of 2 days, it was like hundreds and hundreds of people were sending me friend requests on Facebook. I remember one day I was at another brother's house, and I was showing these two brothers that it was like, literally it was like every other minute or so, it was a new friend request. And it was because this post that I'd made had been shared. So I was thinking to myself, now that I've got all these people that are on my Facebook who are seeing the post that I make and are seeing the truth being presented, maybe I should start doing Facebook Lives again, because I used to do them a couple of years ago. And so the Lord was moving, he put it upon my heart to do a Facebook Live about Christ, the power of God, similar to the study that he had me give earlier on in regards to grace. So yeah, it was about Christ being the power of God. And definitely I could tell that the Lord definitely wanted me to give that message, because I then saw later on that hundreds of people viewed it, and some people privately messaged me. There's one girl in particular, keep her in your prayer, her name is Amy. I sent her a Bible and an ALAC book, because she told me that after I made that video, she messaged me and said that she's messed around with the Ouija board, and this demon has been doing crazy things in her life. And now she's come for help. And I said, yeah, your only help is in Jesus Christ. And you need to open up his word and have faith in him. And she said she does have faith in him. And she does desire to give her life to him. And I pray she is faithful in that. And then she reads the Bible and gets blessed. So and gets saved ultimately. So, yeah. But what I want, the praise. So that's praise there. But the praise in regards to this story of me doing this Facebook Live is the fact that when I started the live stream, I came across this old friend of a friend, but kind of a friend, but I used to play, when I grew up on a council estate with a lot of individuals that ended up becoming gangsters, right, drug dealers. And we used to play football together. They used to come around my house and we used to play video games. And there was one individual that I was very, very close with. We went to the same school, primary school and everything. He and this other friend used to come around my house to play video games when we were younger. Anyway, I come across this individual who's obviously now a drug dealer, a gang leader. And I have to stop the live stream. I have to do it. I have to restart it, right? Because I realize, oh, he's going to stop me for a conversation. Cool. I hadn't seen this guy in years. Now, the last I'd heard, about 4 years ago, if I remember correctly, this guy who I met at the park, he actually stabbed my other friend, the one who I said I was really close with. Sadly, they both ended up getting mold in gangs and becoming drug dealers, but these two were supposed to be best friends. And this guy stabbed the other guy to the point where he was in a coma for like a couple weeks or so. Because I remember he was in a coma, he was unresponsive, but praise God that this friend of mine, I was to say old friend because I haven't seen him in years now, he woke up from the coma and now he's okay. And that happened a few years ago. But now, imagine, I'm at this park on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm coming across this guy who stabbed this mutual friend of ours, right? Anyway, he comes up to me, and I could see in his eyes that, I could just see Satan in his eyes, to be honest. I could see evil, I could see murder in his eyes. And I had a very strange discernment, a very strange feeling, because he is saying to me, do you know what I did to Isaac? Do you know what I did to Isaac? Like he's boasting about it. And of course, Isaac was the guy that he'd stabbed and put in a coma. And he was telling me, you know, I'm back on ends now. In other words, I'm back in the area now because he'd been away for a few years. He didn't exactly say where he went. Maybe he went to prison for stabbing Isaac. And now he's out of prison and he's back in the area. And he's saying, he's running things again, and the youngers are all listening to him. Basically, he's, you know, basically running drug stuff, right? He's a criminal. And yeah, so he's saying all that to me, but I'm seeing it as an opportunity to preach to him, right? So at one point I asked him, I said, no, because he looked at me and he was like, man, he's like, you're looking good. Looks like you're doing good for yourself. And I said, it's only by the grace of God. And I think that kind of startled him. He didn't expect that. And he asked me at one point as well, he asked me if I'm Jewish now. Because I realized he's actually got me as a friend on Facebook. So I said, no, I'm a Christian. And I asked him, do you read the Bible? First I asked him, do you believe in God? And he tried to kind of be jokey about it. But then he got serious and was like, yeah, I do believe in God. And I said, have you read your Bible? Now, obviously, no, this man doesn't read the Bible. Right? He's, like I said, he's a criminal. But I asked him it anyway. And he said to me, I'll be real, I haven't read the Bible, but just because you asked me that question, I'll read it. But I reckon that he got angry at me, the fact that I wasn't scared of him, right? Because a lot of people, I'm guessing, growing up, were scared of him because he was a drug dealer. And like I said, he even stabbed this guy, put him in a coma. It was supposed to be his friend. And I think he got angry at me because it was like, wow. Because I was a bit younger than him. So he kind of like, how's this guy who was my like younger back in the day? It's like, he's not, not only is he not scared of me, but he's putting me on the back foot by questioning me if I believe in God and am I reading the Bible. Like, kind of got to his pride, I think, right? Anyway, I go back and do the live stream. I continue on the live stream. I say, you know, apologies, but I had to stop the live stream because something happens because I came across this guy. Anyway, I start doing the live stream, and as I'm doing the live stream, I walk to a place in the park which is like, there's not many people around that part, and it's like kind of covered by trees and a bush. And as I'm doing the live stream and I'm preaching, and it's coming towards the end of the live stream anyway, coming towards the end of the preaching. Oh, and yeah, just to not miss out this part of the story, this old friend of mine, well, he wasn't really my friend, he was more of a friend of a friend, but we'll say old friend. This old friend of mine who, you know, was stabbed my other friend, he had another guy with him that I didn't know. Don't know who he was, right? Anyway, I'm there, I'm preaching, I'm doing the live stream, and then all of a sudden, I hear these shouts coming from behind me. And I turn my head briefly, and all I see is that guy coming behind me, and the other guy is holding him back, saying, no, 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 like, don't do it, kind of thing. And I just put one and two together. Like, wait, I think he's coming to attack me, and his friend is holding him back. And at that moment, I didn't start running or anything. I was still doing the live stream at that point. But I just started walking towards where all the people were, like the families and stuff. So I just walk and I don't look behind me for some time. And I'm just like, in my mind, as I'm preaching, I'm praying for the Lord to give me protection. And as I get to where all the people are, I realize there's like park rangers there, and a whole bunch of people are standing there looking, and they're asking, are you okay? Are you okay? What did they do to you? Are you all right? Like, and I was like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, because obviously I was so in the preaching that I didn't realize what was going on behind me with the two guys. And it seemed like the friend of this guy was stopping him from trying to come and attack me. Hence why he was going, no, no. And he was like literally like trying to hold him back. And so, yeah, I just praise God because it seems there that, well, it looks very clear that he protected me there from a real danger. This guy wanted to attack me. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he had a knife. Maybe he wanted to kill me, you know, because it's clear that Satan moved on him, right? And like I said, this is a guy who stabbed his supposed best friend. I remember going on his Facebook page afterwards, and he still had pictures of him and the other guy that he stabbed together, like their best mates. This isn't a very good individual, but I have been praying for him, and I do keep him in your prayers that he will repent and be saved. You know, maybe he went on Facebook afterwards and watched the live stream. Who knows? Who knows? But I also pray for his friend as well that was holding him back, and that was that very well may have been the Lord that moved upon his heart to hold him back and to stop him from coming and attacking me. So I praise God for his protection, and once again, you know, first it was the Rottweiler, now it was this gangster coming to attack me at the same park. This time, not at night time, but on a Sunday afternoon. So it also makes me very clear, makes it very clear on my mind that I need to get out into the countryside and away from the city because of these things that have been going on. So please keep that in prayer also, that I may be able to get out into the country and that the Lord will open up the door there. So, yeah, I praise God, and I will put down the mic.
Praise the Lord, Brother Samuel. That is awesome. God is so good for protecting us from any harm. All right, so I have some praises to share. Sister Fran has a praise. She sent me, she has a praise. She says, Sabbath blessings. My praise to the Lord is actually from a song I love to sing. So I'm going to read it. I asked her to sing it, but she's got a sore throat. So we do love to hear you sing, Sister Fran. You have a beautiful voice from God. She says, there is sunshine in my heart today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly skies, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Praise his holy name. That is beautiful, sister. Thank you for sharing. Praise the Lord. And then I've got some more praises to share that have been put in the chat room. We'll start with Sister Barbara. Praise the Lord for his love and blessings. My family and I have so many problems, but the Lord blesses me with the joy that only he can give. Praise the Lord, sister. And Brother Jeremiah, I wanted to praise the Lord for his protection. A tornado was supposed to go through my town, and God lifted it up over our town. Prayer definitely works, as we have seen many times. Praise the Lord, brother. And then Brother Gorin says, he has some praises. Number one, he says, I praise the Lord for unspoken praise. And then he has in parentheses, nothing bad happened, and there could have been a traffic accident, and who knows what other evil. So praise the Lord for protection of a loved one. And then second praise the Lord for healing my foot. And then third praise the Lord for his kindness and mercy and for reminding me to write down the praises. Praise the Lord, Brother Gordon. And Sister Danny O says, praise the Lord for his wonderful blessings, his love that keeps us close to him by his word, corrections, and our beautiful brothers and sisters of the Lord. Brother Anthony and I have been so blessed to have a family of God who we love to go to for encouragement, counsel, and just to hear from and talk to regularly, helping us to continue to draw closer together in brotherly love. Praise God and Sabbath blessings, family. Praise the Lord, sister, and I echo that as well. And then Brother Ethan says, happy Sabbath. I want to praise the Lord for leading my family to safety during these storms in Texas. Praise the Lord. And then Sister Hannah, I want to praise the Lord for the Sabbath. In parentheses, the best day of every week. I agree, sister. And the many blessings God bestows on us each and every day. His abundant grace, many mercies, and our free gift of salvation through our precious Redeemer, Christ Jesus. We are so unworthy, yet God is, in his amazing love, continues to give and give and give to us. I also praise the Lord and am so thankful to the Lord for all my brothers and sisters. God bless and love you all. Sabbath blessings. Sabbath blessings, sister. We love you too. Praise the Lord. And Brother Gilbert has another praise. I praise the Lord for the following. Some time ago, I had an ear infection. I would touch it and feel discomfort. Thank the Lord, I put a drop of colloidal silver in my ear, and after a while, I felt better. And I don't even feel the discomfort anymore. The Lord is always good. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord for his goodness and natural methods for healing. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is so awesome. And then I'm going to share my praise while I'm on the mic. I praise the Lord for his protection, as all of us have been praising the Lord And this was for a loved one. A few weeks back, my stepdaughter, Lisa, and my little grandson, who is, I believe, 4, she was driving, and she thought she was going through a yellow light, but it turned red, and she ended up T-bowing a car. It was a pretty bad accident. She sent me pictures of her car, and it was just total. The front end was just bashed in, and if you looked at the car, you would think that somebody seriously got hurt or maybe got killed, because it was just really a bad accident. And but praise the Lord, she ended up having a broken sterrum. She said that she had a broken sterrum and a retrosternal hematoma. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I guess it was a some blood behind the sterrum, I guess is what happened. And she said, along with a messed up wrist, but she said, I will heal and Finley is okay also. Just has some bruises. And she sent me some pictures of little Finley, and he just has some minor bruises, but I just praise the Lord for his protection. And then I told her, well, you know, you definitely had some guardian angels watching over you. And she said back that she agreed, you know, that definitely there were some guardian angels. And she's not a believer, so I'm praying that this accident opens her eyes to how she should be grateful to God for watching over her and her son. And so I just praise the Lord for his protection. And I also praise the Lord for, you know, we all pray for our loved ones, whether they're saved or not. And I just praise the Lord that he, even though they might be unbelievers and they don't believe as we do, if we pray over them, brothers and sisters, we have to believe and trust that God is going to protect them. And I believe in all my heart that he does. And this is a prime example. So I just praise the Lord for that, for hearing our prayers of our loved ones for protection. And so, and I told her I pray every morning, you know, for my loved ones and for my grandkids and for, you know, all my children, including my stepchildren. And she thanked me for praying for them every morning. So, and then I also want to praise the Lord for my work. I approached my 2-year anniversary at Goodwill. I can't believe I've been there 2 years now. In February, it was 2 years. And so I had my 2-year review, and I just give God all the glory. The review was very, very good. I was hitting above average on most of the requirements I have for my job, and I got a raise, a 25-cent raise, and I praise the Lord for that. And so, like I said, I give God all the glory. I mean, a lot of you've heard my, you know, my work experience and how I started, and it was struggle, and I just kept, you know, praying and persevering, and God just has, you know, blessed me so much at work. And I just praise the Lord I'm able to share with my coworkers, you know, the truth. And you know, they're really wanting to get into the natural you know, methods, and not, you know, they're agreeing that the prescription drugs are not the way, and natural methods are the way, and they believe, you know, about not taking the vaccine. And so they're on the same page with us on a lot of things. And now I'm just sharing, you know, Christ with them now. And you know, so I'm praying that they, you know, that these are planted with them. And I just praise the Lord for giving me the opportunity. We have some new employees that are going to be starting. I think we have 3 ladies that are going to be starting in our department. So I'm praying I'm able to plant some seeds with those ladies as well that will be starting soon. And so praise the Lord for that. And I just love God, and I love my Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. The Godhead is just so awesome. And I love all of you. Praise the Lord for all of you and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and for my salvation. And God bless. I love you all.
Amen. Love you too. All right. Got a couple of more praises, but I want to read Brother Arthur's first. He says, Pastor Nick, I was very blessed by God and want to share my praise and testimony. God is so awesome. All glory to God. Amen. I need a certain type of truck to haul over 6,000 pounds, to over 6,000 pound camper that my wife purchased last. Oh, yeah, to haul a camper, like a trailer last November, he says. After lots of research, I decided that I needed a Toyota Tundra with a 5.7 liter engine and four wheel drive. They are strong and last forever. Yeah, we bought one too. Ours got it used, but it hasn't let us down since. I couldn't justify a new one, mostly just for hauling our camper. Yeah, you'll overpriced when they're new. And he says, this is the number one truck in America, so it's very hard to find a good used one. I started searching way back in November. I prayed and prayed about it almost daily. I searched and searched for 6 months, almost every day. Whenever I found one and called, I was told we just sold that this morning. It is such a popular truck. I almost settled for a lesser truck, but decided to wait on the Lord. If he wanted me to have one, I would have it. Finally, after 6 months, I finally found one at a very large dealership that wasn't sold yet. It had very low mileage and looked perfect. I made an appointment for Friday afternoon to test drive it. I traveled 1.5 hours to the dealer that had the truck. When I arrived, I told the salesperson which truck I was there to see. He went and checked out, and they said, sorry, we just sold the truck this morning. I said I had an appointment to drive it at 4 o'clock. How can it be sold? They apologized and says they'll fill my gas tank. I says, I'd like to talk to the manager. I told the manager I had an appointment at 4 o'clock to test drive that truck. I drove 1.5 hours to see it. This isn't right. How can this happen? Now you'll see God's hand working. The manager started looking up the truck on his computer, and he had a short conversation with the salesman, and I heard him say, that check didn't come in yet, did it? And they said, no. The manager said, the guy that bought that truck was supposed to bring the down payment for his financing today, and he didn't show up. If you want that truck, you can have it. Praise God. Because I used to work at a car dealership, and this is what got me fired or laid off, is they had this thing. And I'm surprised they didn't do it with, well, it looks like, well, they could have done it with you, yeah. We were at a meeting, and they told every one of the salesmen, and even though I was number one, they still laid me off, right? They said, if somebody calls about a truck or a car that they've seen in the newspaper, because we're advertising again this morning, even if you see the truck driving off the lot, totally sold with plates on it, and everything, you tell them the truck is still here or car is still here, and then we'll put them in something else. And I jumped up and says, I can't do that. That's lying. You know, you can't do that to your customers. And we had a back and forth for a little while. It didn't go anywhere, obviously. But then a week later, they were laying people off, and that was one of them. But they do that a lot. They'll tell you it's there, and it's not really there. So anyway, Brother Arthur goes on to say, he says, I knew right away that God did this. The truck was sold, but I got it anyway. Amen. That truck has very low miles, and it is like new. No exaggeration. It is spotless. Even underneath it, it looks like new, with a light copper-colored exhaust system and totally black spotless frame and undercarriage. It has an all-leather interior, also like new. It has every option available and so well taken care of. This is no difference between this truck and a new one except some very low mileage on it. I waited on the Lord. He gave me exactly what I needed, more than I had imagined. Then thank God and praise the Lord, your brother in Christ, Arthur. So amen, brother. That reminds me of the motorhome too. Same thing. We ended up getting a motorhome. We bought it used. And we finally went there, and they actually had it, and it was spotless, and it was like it was never driven, like 9,000, like with the Tundra that had like 9,000 miles on it when we got it. And it was a year and a half or something like that old, and the price was less than half than what they were asking for it, around half. So praise the Lord. That is definitely history, because that is a very reliable truck, I'll tell you. So anyway, Brother Tao is next, or Tao, I think it is. He says, hello, Pastor Nick, Sabbath blessings to you and everyone else. I pray your Sabbath is blessed. Amen it is. And then he says, I would like to praise and thank the Godhead for, number one, their protection, including from a near-miss encounter with a snake that would have probably been deadly whilst on a walk in a grassy, secluded path of a reserve near me. And number two, for providing finances in surprising ways, including when I couldn't think of a way out or a way through. And number three, for many unspoken and answered prayers. Thank you and God bless, Teo. Amen, my brother. Amen, amen. We serve an awesome God. We are definitely, we are all servants of this God, and lovingly so, we want to. And this next one, I just got an email a minute ago. I don't know who it's from, a brother or a sister in the faith. And they say, hello, brother and sister. I just have a short, fun story I wanted to share. My four-year-old daughter, Ocean, was laying in bed next to her father, and he says, do you know who loves you? And she says, who? Because it's got an exclamation point there with a question mark. And he says, well, me, mommy, and mostly God and Jesus. And she said so quickly, and a matter of factly, she says, well, don't forget about Moses. Out of the mouths of babes, I tell you. You know, it reminds me of Art Linkletter when I was a kid. They used to have this section in every week. Kids say the darndest things. I think that's what it was titled. Kids say the darndest things. And some of the cutest things that kids will say. I look for videos like that all the time because it's just amazing. The pure innocence and the matter-of-fact way that they talk, yeah, because they haven't been, you know, taught yet to be, like even with racist parents and stuff, they haven't even taught to be racist and stuff. And they haven't taught to be mean. They haven't been taught to lie. They haven't, you know. And what's the easiest way for parents to teach their kids how to lie and how the lying works? Santa Claus. Tell them that some fat guy's going to come down the chimney and bring you gifts. Parents told that lie to all their kids, and by the time they're old enough, they realize mom and dad lied to them, and it worked. And so then they got a tool. Because they know it worked, they believed them. And so now they got a tool, and their own parents taught them. So, yeah, it's just amazing, these little kids, to see. Let me check my email one more time. Sister Mindy, you got something you're going to share? Because I see your hands up. She might have. Let me maybe I should get in the text chat. I don't even know who sent that last. Let's see. Am I in the text? Yeah, I am. Oh, she does. Okay, yeah, all right. Let me drop the mic.
I have a couple more praises to share. Tanili, I think that's saying it right, has a praise. I praise the Lord for changing me. He has changed my life immensely. I strive to be more Christ-like. I'm a lot more kinder. I have a lot more peace. I have no worries, and I'm trying to be a light in the world for other people. People have started noticing a change in me at work as well since I've come to the Lord again. A couple weeks ago, I started reading the book of Revelation out loud, and when I read the first couple chapters out loud where it was describing the Lord, I had a feeling in my chest, and then I started crying. I feel like I may have felt the Lord's presence while reading his word where it was speaking about him. I praise the Lord for showing me his presence. I just love him so much. Praise the Lord. That is so awesome. And Brother Jesse says he praises the Lord. The voices and screams have been gone for a whole day. Praise the Lord, he says. We're praying for you, Brother Jesse, for sure. Love you all. God bless.
Satisfies everyone. Can you guys hear me? Hopefully. I see the meter moving, so I just assume. Thanks. Alrighty. I have a few things to share here. First I'll share Sister Vera's praise. And Sister Vera says, I want to praise Jesus that this past month Jesus kept waking me up at midnight a couple of times in order to stir me up to a more serious walk in Christ and sharing his message with everyone in this Muslim city. And praise Jesus for Brother Nick's message of how the early church prayed for boldness to share his message. And it was confirmation for me that Christ wants me to be more earnest in sharing his message here. I also praise Jesus that this past month my son and I were able to begin to study the Bible two times per day, even though Satan is trying hard to interrupt that now. Praise Jesus for putting a zeal in my son's heart to study the Bible and to be ready for his coming. Please pray for this precious little soul who will turn 11 in a month. that Satan won't be able to extinguish this fire that began in his heart. And praise Jesus for all these precious moments to sow seed in his heart. Please pray Christ will give me wisdom to make these Bible studies interesting and appropriate for his understanding, and that God will bless me with words to encourage him in Christ. Amen, sister. I have a couple things, a few things to share myself. I want to praise the Lord for blessing me, helping me to continue to gain more knowledge and understanding and music. I want to praise him for blessing me with understanding more truth and also being corrected and being able to talk with, you know, brothers in faith that can offer, you know, can help you see things that you cannot always see yourself. Sometimes you become, you can get very easily confused by certain topics or questions, and it's, you know, praise the Lord that he definitely blesses all of us to be able to work together, you know, as a team or as one, so that we can be made perfect as is his desire anyways. And I also want to praise the Lord for a little similar to something I think I shared. Something that I shared that, you know, sometimes I can be, in terms of approaching people, be a bit shy. Just approaching people out of the blue. But there was an instance where I prayed to the Lord and I asked him, you know, to just have somebody else say something to me that allows them to approach me. And then I can be able to have a chance to share some truth with them. Well, I want to praise the Lord because a similar thing also happened this past month, and I thought it was interesting how it happened because I was getting ready to head out, and I was just heading to the store, and then I just had a thought. I was like, you know what? Let me fix my hair. Let me make it look nice. And I fixed my hair, and then I went out, and I did some shopping, and as I was, you know, finishing up with my shop, and I was getting ready to, like, leave and walk out the store, and then all of a sudden, somebody within the store started calling out to me. And it was one of the employees there, and he started questioning me, and he started asking me about, like, my hair and how long it took to grow it out and stuff like that. And so I talked to him a little bit, and then I was like, all right, and then I started to leave and head out. But I was having a thought in my head. I was like, should I give him something as I'm leaving? And so as I'm going and putting my cart away, I see him come outside of the store. And I was just like, okay, then I guess I'll get something for him. And as I'm going to get something out of some tracks out of my pocket, some of the groceries that I had fell out of the bag. And then so some other person comes over to start helping me out to put the groceries back into the bag. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, definitely for not just the guy that I saw beforehand, but also for this person as well. And so I pulled out a couple of tracks and I started talking to them about it. It's one of the climate change ones that Brother Alvin made. And it was interesting because one of the guys, he was very excited to basically come up to hear the truth and or hear certain things in regards to climate change, because I was sharing how they're using that to hide the fact of Christ's second coming. And as I started to say that, he got very excited. And so I want to praise the Lord for blessing me and giving me opportunity to share the truth and, you know, helping to grow and definitely helping to grow in boldness and learning to, like the brother was saying earlier, to some point learning to step out of our comfort zones. But anyways, with that said, I'll say accept blessings, and I will put down the mic, and you should hear Pastor Nick's voice next.
You might. Can you hear me? Because Turbo just crashed on my side. Anybody hear me? Oh, you can? Wow. Shiver me timbers. No clue. All right, well, we're just about, you know, I guess before we start, well, it looks like we're not going to do the Bible study area where I read from the book of Acts because it's already 3:25 and I stop at 3:30. And so, wow, this has been a long testimony service. Let me see if I have any more praises here. No, I do not. Let me check my email one more time. I'm just happy you guys can hear me because I know before I switch over. Okay, yeah, so I guess I'm going to close in prayer here. And I guess I don't need that graphic. I was going to put something in the text chat letting everybody know I crashed. But so, all right, so if you can kneel. Oh, man, this has really been a good testimony service again. But, oh, there was something I did want to share before we close. The Lord gave me an idea. I think it was in prayer yesterday in the midday, you know, about how some Christians, for some strange reason, they'll go to like homosexual parades and a bunch of parades or a big gathering where there's a bunch of drunk people and start rebuking people and putting up, you know, like the picket sign saying, repent, Jesus is coming, and you know, homosexuality is a sin or whatever, you know, stuff like that. We're not supposed to do that. You're just going to, it's not going to work. You go into a homosexual parade, they don't want you there, okay? And it's just going to cause an issue. Now, if it just comes upon you, you know, you move as the Lord would have you move. But the Lord gave me an idea for a picket sign that 9 times out of 10, I would think in my mind, because this works for me on the street. Sometimes I'll, and I haven't done it, so I'm kind of rusty at doing this, and I haven't done this in a while. I usually just hand someone a track, and we'll start talking. And but I haven't had the opportunity yet to go out, you know, to go out and just talk to a bunch of people on the street. But a nice, like a sign or even a picket sign, but you know, like a big size sign, you know, I would say a good size poster sign that would say in big black bold letters, ask me a Bible question. That's it. And just stand there, like in a college camp or something like that, because you know, I've been watching straight preachers on YouTube for probably decades, and I'm always looking for the one that would, like Brother Samuel and the guys in the UK, the way they do it, oh man, it doesn't generate issues. Well, I would imagine it does. Some of them probably do get threatened, but they don't have it on camera. And some of these guys, you know, I remember one time it always sticks in my mind. There's this guy, he's preaching and to a bunch of people, and just saying, repent, Jesus is coming soon, and all that, which is fine. Yeah, and it's perfectly fine and perfectly acceptable. You should do that. But what he said to this young couple, no, you don't say stuff like that. You know, you got to meet them where they're at. You got to share love with them and try to, you know, move them into a proper and good and godly conversation that won't obviously trigger them. Because the young girl walks up and with a young guy, like teenagers, and she's wearing, you know, teenager clothing in today's world, either a miniskirt or painted on jeans, right? And because that's how the teens are. That's how they've been since the 70s, as I recall. And the young guy is, you know, got his arm around her and stuff like that. And they walk up to him and he goes, he called the boy, he called the young guy a whoremonger, and he called his girlfriend a whore. And how is that going to entice them to want to hear the message of Jesus Christ? You know, and so I was thinking of just, you know, I'm going to try this one of these here days, like going to a college campus or something like that, and just ask me a Bible question. I was even thinking of going door to door with a little flyer saying, you know, kind of like an idea like, you write the sermon. In other words, we're going to have this gathering in a town. We're going to rent a town hall or something, and we're going to pass out flyers for a couple of weeks before the gathering and just say, come on to the meeting and ask any Bible question you want. Do you want to know why climate change is here, what's actually happening, and was it in prophecy, or the earthquakes, the tornadoes, all the strange weather, because most young people think that's normal, but it's not. It's end time weather is what it is. That stuff is not normal. It's not how God planned the planet to be created, right? Even earthquakes, it's not normal. That's not, he wouldn't create a planet that could kill the people on it. You know, he's an almighty God. He's not kind of making messing up here and there. No, he doesn't do that. His creation is perfect. So, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because, yeah, amen. what Brother Gilbert put in the room, Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I've seen that. I've seen that point blank many times. Amen, Brother Gilbert. And so, but yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there because I printed this thing out this morning, and I was going to show it. And maybe even like if I brought it into a, like Purdue and just stand there holding it and say, ask me a Bible question. I wonder how well that would work out, you know. I'm curious. So, because summer's coming, you know. Who knows? See what happens in the coming days. And don't worry, if they ask you a question, can't answer, I've done this on the street. And this is why my FAQ page has, I think it's got 80. Let me see really, really quick. Let me just go to Remedy God. And go into Bible Truths Questions, Bible FAQs. Yeah, 80. There's 86 questions that were asked of me on the street that I couldn't answer immediately. And so I would do a quick study and go back on the street, and if the question was asked again, I'd pull out my notes, and here's your answer. And so, but that took, that 86 times right there, that probably took 5-10 years to get up to that number. Because every now and then, I didn't literally just go off the street. Whenever I was out and about, I would, well, you know, when you're Gabby, you have a tendency to talk to people. And anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to close this out with prayer. And then at about 4 o'clock, I guess, my brother Sean or Eli or whoever's doing the, well, I'm just going to say Sean from now unless somebody corrects me. Because, you know, but yeah, you'll have the 4 o'clock on whatever it is you guys will be doing. But before, well, I'll explain this in a minute. I'm going to have to reboot Turbo. So please bow your hearts if you're already on your knees. I pray. And don't worry if you missed the testimony and didn't get the email to me in time. We'll share it next month, which in this case is only 3 weeks away because we couldn't do it last week. So please bow your hearts. Oh, and next week's communion, right? Yeah, don't worry. Next week, I mean, don't worry. Don't forget to get your unleavened bread and your grape juice. Next week, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, okay, next Sabbath. All right, please bow your hearts. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We try our best to honor you daily, and we trust you in every way. And we pray, Father, that you continue to bless us with additional wisdom, faith, discernment, courage, and the opportunity to go forth and proclaim the truth, to have your name blessed and glorified above all names throughout all of Earth's history and even unto eternity when you have us go forth as ambassadors when we get home, when we reign with Christ. Father, you alone are holy, Lord, and you alone are loving to the perfect definition of the word love. And only you can care for us and cherish your children who loves you in ways that glorify you. I mean, you're the only one who can, and you're the only one who can protect us the way you do. No one else can, no man can do this. No man can protect us the way you do. And Father, we honor you again. We obey you and we trust you for all that you're, for you and all and your will, whatever it is, for that is forever perfect as well. And exactly as you deemed it to be perfect in regards to what you need us to do and when you need us to do it and giving us the means by which to do it. And thank you for removing the dark glasses day by day and getting us clearer and clearer understanding of your word and the way you're opening it up. And so please, Father, please hear the prayers of your son's faithful bride so that we can see you glorified even more so in the coming days. And please accept this prayer that we pray to honor and glorify your son, who is forever our Savior, our King, and our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.